So again, pleasure to be with you virtually today, and thank you very much for the invitation. What I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes is the health and life sciences sector, and it being a focus for the National Innovation Strategy. So first of all, I'll define what is a very broad church in terms of the health and life sciences sector. Why it's a focus for a national innovation strategy, the sector strengths which are firm foundations to build on for the next decade, and how the innovation strategy can hopefully impact the sector, sustain it, and drive further growth. So, what is health and life sciences sector? As I said, it's a broad church. In Scotland, we really split it up into three areas. So pharmaceutical innovation, which is probably the aspect of health and life sciences that most people associate with. So this is the development and testing of medicines and vaccines, clinical research of those, also health informatics, digital process and manufacturing. The sector's evolving. We're doing a lot more now in health technology. So digital health, AI and data-driven innovation, imaging, devices and diagnostics. So health tech is becoming increasingly important. And then we have the three A's. So animals, agriculture and aquaculture. So really this is around disease and healthcare in a One Health approach, but also food security into the future. And innovation really is at the very core of the sector. Firstly, it's driven by a constant and evolving need for more and better products and services to ensure the health and well-being of the global population. But it's the lifeblood of what we do in this sector, because if you don't innovate, you're not going to survive in terms of in academic research and innovation, publishing, but also protecting your innovations through patents. So innovation really is at the very core of health and life sciences. As a sector, it employs over 40,000 people across 750 organizations, and those include our world-class universities across Scotland, biotech and medtech SMEs through to larger pharma companies, clinical research organizations who provide the services for preclinical and clinical testing of medicines, vaccines, devices, etc., and also non-pharma manufacturing. And total turnover from the sector grew from 4.5 billion in 2014 to 6.6 billion in 2018. And the life science strategy for Scotland is to grow that total turnover to 8 billion by 2025. And we are on track to do that at the moment. And the pharma research and manufacturing component separately of the sector alone supports a total of 2.5 billion and just over 2 billion in output for the country respectively, and support 1.8 and 1.2 billion of GVA. So that's significant. And Scotland's home to 15% of the UK's health tech, pharma tech and wellbeing companies, and 10% of the companies that are really developing therapies for the future across biopharma and vaccines, et cetera, and 31% of clean bio, agritech and industrial biotechnology companies. So it's an important sector. As I said, it's a broad church, very significant for the economy, and a lot going on with it towards this direction of an 8 billion total turnover in three short years. And health and life sciences is one of the four pillars of Scotland's economic strength. And hopefully the snapshot of the sector made that clear as to why. And as I said, innovation is really at the heart of the success of the sector, and it's critical for its sustained success and its chances of growth over the next decade. And although it's already a significant sector for the economy, it has significant potential for further growth, particularly in a few specific high growth sub areas or subsectors. So it's a sector that's doing well. The report card would still read, could even do better, however. And those strengths that I mentioned really provide the firm foundations for future growth over the next decade, are built on the concentrated infrastructure that we have across the country of life science hubs, comprising world-leading universities, and of course our healthcare system as test beds for the products and the services that we're developing, and an ecosystem of talent and bespoke facilities that are located at the heart of both academic and health clusters, connecting industry to world-leading research and healthcare professionals. And what's really interesting, and I can say this from existing in the Aberdeen cluster, if you like, that each of the clusters that we have, and I'm kind of defining cluster just by geography, is unique in terms of its specific strengths, and those tend to have come about from the research base and have developed organically and are based on the expertise in those particular geographic areas. And they're complementary. So I would say that they only compete for resource, whether that's funding, scientific talent or management, kind of nice problems to have. And again, from my own experience and that of others, it's a very connected and collaborative national ecosystem across the sector. And importantly, Scotland outperforms much of the rest of the world in terms of health and life sciences intellectual capital generated. And you can measure this through a number of metrics and metrics that measure innovation across the sector. In terms of the proportion of medical publications that are in the top 1% cited globally, Scotland's world leading, along with the UK, but we come out in terms of the UK life science competitiveness report, we're number one over 13 different countries that were assessed. And also we lead a lot of the rest of the world in terms of life science patents filed per population, but also based on the investment that went into that research base to generate those patents. And interesting example, the number one location in Europe for research impact in biomedical and health sciences is actually Dundee. So even on an international scale, Scotland already performs well, and there are significant strengths here across health and life sciences that we can build on to do much better and maintain and grow that competitive advantage and lead, if you like, over the next decade. So the potential impact of an innovation strategy to this sector is potentially providing a framework not only to sustain and drive further innovation across health and life sciences, but to facilitate maximal return on that innovation. I hope I've convinced you that we're very good at innovating, and that's definitely, as I said, central to our sector anyway. But it's what comes of that innovation, the products and the services, and as you just heard from the minister as well, the commercialization of that. And, you know, the framework could enable more health and life science innovation that should and can be to be spun out of our world-leading academic institutions. I believe there's still a heck of a lot of fantastic innovation sat within there that should see the light of day in the private sector and form new companies. That's not to say basic research should not be protected. That's something completely separate and is part of the innovation strategy, and that absolutely has to be protected. But the innovation that should and can be spun out absolutely should. But we have to ensure that the spin-outs then scale and transition from just being research and development stage through to commercial entities. So actually, as I say, commercializing products and services resulting from that innovation on which they span out. And there was a BioCity Life Science Startup Report commissioned in 2019 that marked a 50% growth in life science startups. And these are startups out of our universities that were created between 2014 and 2018. And I don't think there's been a follow-up in terms of the fate of those businesses, but it's essential that if there is growth in the number of spin-outs, those spin-outs themselves then do want to grow and become commercial entities. And obviously what's needed, and an innovation strategy can bring all the stakeholders together to provide that framework to ensure that the funding, definitely investment, but also non-dilutive funding through grants, et cetera, talent, development of the talent that we already have, as well as securing talent, either keeping our talent within Scotland or attracting new talent in, infrastructure, etc., other things as well are required for this to happen. Creating more bio-entrepreneurs. So this links with another national strategy. You know, there are a lot of bio-entrepreneurs of the future that absolutely need to be identified and supported in their journey. And just some images on the right-hand side in terms of the infrastructure piece. Scotland is certainly making headway here to make sure that the infrastructure, the facilities are there to allow the strengths that we have across the sector to come to fruition in terms of space for new life science companies, innovative manufacturing. So the £40 million investment in the beautiful biohub that's here in Aberdeen. It does actually now look exactly like the picture because it's nearly ready. It's going to be open next spring. £65 million of investment in the National Manufacturing Innovation Centre in Renfrew, and also more recently in Dundee, what will be a £25 million investment in a facility within their bioscience cluster. So we are addressing this need for infrastructure, homes for the innovation, the companies, hopefully to transition to commercial stage, which is really important. And this will help retain companies and talent within the country, as well as attracting companies and talent into this life science ecosystem, if we can further develop that and make it even more attractive. So there's certainly the potential through a strategy to build on the sector's already strong foundation so it can be sustained and grow over the next decade and really play a role in delivering on realizing the full potential of the impact of the sector on the economy, which I don't think we're there yet by any means. We could do better, there's more to come, and hopefully way beyond the 8 billion turnover that the sector is focused on for 2025. So to close, innovation is the lifeblood of health and life science sector. And in turn, this sector is key to the Scottish economy, already punches above its weight in terms of innovation metrics and a lot of other things that I didn't share. I could go on, but can and must do even more. And this is where a national innovation strategy can certainly assist and really drive outputs beyond intellectual assets and get that return on investment from innovation or return on innovation from priority areas or subsectors with real high growth potential within the sector, and those can certainly increase. And driving commercialization of products resulting from that innovation, those intellectual assets, whether they be medicines, devices, diagnostics, services, all of which address healthcare and well-being needs for global markets. And also more investment secured, jobs created and retained. So the current innovation ecosystem within health and life science has to be protected and sustained, but can certainly be enhanced further to achieve those outputs and drive even more impact nationally and internationally. And that's going to be essential if we're to reach that 8 billion turnover target in a few short years' time and continue to grow over the next decade beyond that. And importantly, continue and do even better in being a leading contributor to meeting the constant and evolving need for more and better products and services for the health and well-being of the global population. So with that, I will thank you very much for everybody's time and hope there were no technical glitches at that end.